Hello, and welcome to AMO Kenzaku, episode 74. We are a group of four Bubblegum Crisis Boomer otaku who talk about all things anime, manga, and other subjects we may find interesting. The Kenzaku are...
I'm Dylan.
Hey y'all, I'm Mike.
I'm Sam.
And I am tonight's host, Nick. We are... about to say filming. We are recording this episode on August the 14th, 2025, and the subject is Uma Musume Pretty Derby. So with that, Hashin.
Well, you know, the government name.
Yeah, the full name.
Yeah.
So Uma Musume encapsulates, I would say, two primary things, one being the wildly successful mobile game that released initially in Japan in 2021, although it was originally supposed to release in 2018, but it was severely delayed for whatever reason. It, as of I think beginning of this year, has grossed something like $2.2 billion in revenue for side games. Jeez. So, you know, I think the delay is more than made up for. Coincidentally, the game had its global release, so now including the US territory, about 2 months ago, maybe a little bit less. But yeah, so it just launched in the global servers as well. And then the other major component of Uma Musume is the, I guess now, long-running anime series. Currently, Uma Musume consists of three, let's call it mainline seasons, that are, I think, what, like 11 or 12 episodes each.
Mm-hmm.
As well as a YouTube exclusive 4-episode OVA.
Well, technically called... not YouTube exclusive. It's Amazon is the normal one.
Oh, really? I thought It was released through YouTube on the like PakaTube channel.
I think Amazon is the normal place where it is.
Oh,
quote unquote.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. So that's known as Road to the Top, and I believe that's 4 episodes. And then there's a feature length.
I thought you were talking about a different thing. I got ahead of myself.
Oh.
That may be actually.
Oh, you're thinking about Cinderella.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Road to the Top is a 4-ep OVA that's only on YouTube. On PakaTube, which is Paka is the onomatopoeia for like clip clop, so that's the origin of that. So there's some hilarious like gaming content there too from the VA. So like Gold Ship Teo, Mayo no Top Gun, and I'm trying to remember. I think it's King Halo's VAs. Like play like a bunch of like multiplayer games like Gang Beasts and these other like, you know, competitive games and in their character. So it's pretty amusing actually. There is the feature length film, Beginning of a New Era, which is the only animated content that has not had a release outside of Japan, which is very disappointing because it is phenomenally well animated. I would say it even surpasses Cinderella Grey's animation quality. And then I spoiled the fourth being kind of the spin-off series, which just finished its first core, Cinderella Grey, which is available on Amazon Prime currently. So that's kind of all of that exists, I guess, officially of Uma Musume as far as media. I think for today, the initial, I think the original idea is for each of us to go watch season one and then watch any more or play anything beyond that at our availability. So obviously, me being the 8 layers deep in the rabbit hole fanboy, I've consumed every piece of animation minus the feature-length film, as well as being way too deep into the mobile game. What about you, Sam?
First, did you say is the movie licensed anywhere?
It is not licensed anywhere yet. Okay. I cannot imagine that it won't, because I mean the global release of Uma Musume has been anything but stellar. So I would assume it's gonna get released at some point. I assume on Crunchy, but who knows where? Wherever it goes, I'm gonna watch and purchase the Blu-ray. Because yeah. Holy smokes, if you've seen cuts of that movie, it is jaw-droppingly gorgeous. So, but back to the question. So what about you, Sam? How much have you watched/played?
So. Of the anime, I've watched the first season and I think the first half of the second season, more than half. I've made it through like basically the first two arcs, I think. And I've started watching Cinderella Gray because I just skipped to that because it looked so good. And so I'm 4 eps into that. And I have logged into the game and played through the tutorial and have not played anything else since.
Got it. What about you, Mike?
I've watched season one and just barely started season two with the first step down. Have not played the game yet, though I'm at least somewhat intrigued now.
All right. And what about you, Dylan?
I have watched seasons one, two, and through like episode 8 or 9 of season three and played the game on iOS for a couple of hours.
Okay, so you've gotten through the tutorial,
yeah,
like as we call it, got and actually gotten to the meat and potatoes of it.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah, just for reference, I think I mean, again, conservative estimate, I maybe have 80 hours in the mobile game as of right now. I mainlined it hard when it launched, so yeah, I'm in trouble, let's just say.
How much money have you spent? That's what I want to know.
I've definitely spent money. Let me think here. I've purchased basically all of the, let's call it, discount packs that they have available, mm-hmm. to be as like cash efficient. And then there are I'm like trying to be optimal. So there was basically a banner specifically for the support card for Kitasan Black, who's the main character in season three. She basically has a support card around her that is still to this day one of those number like top five like support cards in even the JP server, so it has like a long legs, so I went hard on that. So yeah, if I had to put a dollar amount, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of like $150 probably.
Wow, okay,
so
you're in,
yeah,
it.
Not, you know, I'm in it. Yeah, I don't know if that classifies me as a whale, because if it's not for 2 months, it's about, yeah, so I guess, I mean, depending on your definition. I mean, I know people who have literally like just turned their blind eye to their credit card and just like basically slammed into the game. And so those people tend to get into the four figures. I don't think I'll ever get that far. My intent with mobile games usually when I get into them is front load, because usually early on is where you get the best bang for your buck as far as the way they kind of structure their stuff. And then I mm-hmm. just kind of sip off of whatever I gain from that early spending for as long as I care to play the game. And usually it ends up working out to being in the neighborhood of like probably $10 a month once I'm done playing the game. I did that with Epic 7. Like I put a bunch of money up front and then I played it for like 3.5-4 years and never put more money into it and slowly just got bored of it. So yeah, as a disclaimer, not justifying or encouraging anybody to do this. Only do it if you have the means. I just happen to because I'm fortunate. And, you know, I'm deeply obsessed with the IP now. But yeah, the game, I feel like we don't probably have to really get too much into the game if we don't want to, because I think with as far as what represents the spirit of the IP, I think the anime is more than sufficient for that. So we mm-hmm. can probably keep most of the discussions to the anime. So yeah, I guess there's not, you know, it's weird because as far as like anime goes, it's from a technical standpoint, it's far from stellar. Like I'd say it's even at least season one and two are kind of below average in my opinion as far as total quality of the animation. Like it's not the worst thing I've ever watched, but it's mm-hmm. certainly got some shortcutting. Like they do a lot of the CG, like running for the running, the for running the winning the lives. They kind of do. Yeah, they do a hybrid of the two for seasons one through three. Season four, they just go to rotoscoping, and it looks phenomenal.
But
otherwise, it's far from stellar as far as technically speaking. But first and foremost, Uma Musume, I think if we had to classify it into one of the core genres of anime, I think it's the closest thing you can call it is a sports anime.
Yeah.
I don't know how the rest of you all feel about that moniker.
I certainly agree. I mean, Dylan. It's definitely.
I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, what else would I put it as? Because I usually think of, like, a sports anime or, like, a good sports anime thing. It makes
I didn't say good. I just said, is it a sports anime?
Well, I'm trying to think there. Because my qualification is usually, like, it makes me want to do that sport. Like, I watch Hajime no Ippo, and I really want to take up boxing.
I mean, the problem with them is that you can't magically transform into a horse girl. So.
Well, but you can run.
So I've done plenty of running. Like, I've done more than my share of running. I have run multiple marathons. Yeah, I'm a little bit out of it right now, but I don't know. Like I don't watch this and feel like, oh man, now I understand this like better and I want to do it. Like when I watched the ridiculous anime on Kabaddi, the competitive tag game. Like, I watched mm-hmm. that, I learned about it, I learned the techniques for the thing, and I wanted to do it. In this one, I'm kind of like, I don't know, I feel like it's a competitive idol, like, thing, and not a sports thing. I guess that's kind of where I'm at.
It is just running, right? Which is something we've all done, and requires no special training, so, like, we've all done it, and we all know it sucks. So, like, you get to skip over that, like, I don't know, romanticism, because we've lived it already, in my opinion. That's my explanation for why it just doesn't spark anything, because, yeah, I...
Well, see, I kind of disagree with that part, because I like, I'm just out of it a little bit right now, but, like, I like running, but I've never done it with as part of, like, a real racing team or anything like that, but I have done some, like... group training up and stuff like that, and like I know that there's other running anime things, and actually I think probably one of our most hyped things for the fall is the Hyakuem, the movie, which mm-hmm. looks awesome. I keep seeing trailers for it when I'm in the theater, and that's a running one, and that one I mm-hmm. just watching the trailer I'm like, oh man, I want to go running.
But it's like it's not the sport so much as the drama around the sport, like that makes it,
and the rivalry.
Yeah. And the rivalry, right? Like, yeah, I don't like
what's kind of coming to mind that I would also call a sports anime kind of is like, and this is going way back, Battle Athletes.
BAV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say BAV is definitely a sports anime more than anything else.
Yeah, if it revolves around sports, then I feel like that makes it a sports anime, and like the competition is the focus of the drama.
It's just not a team sports anime, which is kind of different.
It is true. I mean, there are differences, but I don't know. I think you can disagree with me. I think I call this more of like a competitive idol thing rather than
the idol part of it is actually relatively inconsequential. Like,
well,
I don't necessarily mean
like the actual idol performances. I mean like almost like you could see this as like a competition to be the top person on AKB48 or something like that. That's what I mean by like it's like, it's not even
I disagree. It's, okay. If you had to choose between the two, this is way... It has to be more sports than idol. Like, I can't. Yeah. I completely disagree. Because the idol portion of it is so much of a small... I'm not saying it's not there. It certainly is. Mm-hmm. But the core of... Like, the tension and the part of the episode that everybody's looking at is the racing, right? The racing is what... Like what is, I would say, the main attraction of each episode, whenever they have it.
Yes.
And then the hijinks behind it.
I agree. I don't know. I don't think that it's not that, and I just think I have, like...
I understand it feels weird calling it a sports anime, because it's not... I guess I may have jumped the gun for our listeners, because I talked about what Umamusume content exists, but I didn't really talk about what is an Umamusume and what is the setting. I think the setting is the most important. So
so many questions.
I usually fall on this sword, but I think I'll pass it off to Dylan this time, just to see what he has internalized, since he has watched the most after me.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't start watching any of this or know anything about it until until we decided to do this after the last episode. So I've just gone into crash course for the last 3 weeks or whatever, 3 or 4 weeks on this.
So tell us, what is an Uma Musume? What is it about?
It's a... I guess it's a semi-historically accurate retelling of specific Japanese horse race timelines in Japanese horse racing as told with anthropomorphized girls that are horse girls. They're girls, but they're kind of horsey. They have tails and ears and particular...
They like carrots, at least some of them.
Uh-huh, yep, particular dietary things and can run very fast.
Is carrots a Japanese horse thing? Because the meme in the U.S. that I'm familiar with, and Nick, you probably know this, is apples for horses.
It's either.
Oh, really? Okay.
Apples and carrots, I would say, are interchangeable. To a horse's taste buds, they are fundamentally the same.
I just mean, like, if you were to ask somebody, like, what do horses eat in America, I feel like most people would answer apples. Like, or, you know.
You mean after hay? Yeah. Well, like, what would a horse want to eat?
Yeah, what would a horse want to eat, right? Like,
yeah. I would say you're not wrong, yeah. In the States, I would say it's more apples. But, yeah, in Japan, it's generally considered to be carrots.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting that, like, they had that difference in culture. Sorry, that was all. I was amusing observation.
No, this whole thing is all amusing and weird stuff, and I'm not sure how weird it gets, so I'm just gonna get weird. And I'm like, I want to get very literal on this. Like, in the world of Uma Musume, like, how does one, like, is this a thing where it's almost like you're just born as a horse girl? Because we see some that are born, it seems like there's some genetic tracing from that you're more likely to be born a horse girl if you have a horse girl mother, because as far as I know, at least from what I've seen, there's no male horse girls.
Correct. Yeah. There are no Uma Musko in the game. That is correct.
I put in my notes, how is Babby formed? Because, yeah, that was a big... put in my notes, how is Babby formed? Because...
Yes. Oh. Yes. How is Babby?
My understanding is that you can only be like, only an Uma Musume can give birth to another Uma Musume, is my understanding.
Okay. So now, how did this start?
Yeah. So now, at some point there was Uma Musume Jesus, and I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of MOOC that actually has the history of it. They kind of gloss over it at the beginning of every season. But they kind of just throw you into it. They're like, here's a world where there are girls who are, reborn, you know, they encapsulate the spirit of horses and reborn as Uma Musume, and all they want to do is run. And there is an organization called the JRA, and they operate a facility, it turns out facilities, called the Treisen Academy, and that's where, you know, Uma Musume who aspire to be the best at running, that's where they go. And that's basically what we're told at the beginning of every season. I paraphrased a lot, but that's more or less.
What about the Uma Musume that are not runners? Because we see others that are just working like normal jobs and things and stuff like that.
And I think it's either season 2 or 3, but you even see it, right? Like, you see like a cutscene where like there's a couple of Uma Musume who kind of bow to the trainer and they walk out, and the rest, you know, and I think it was season 3 where Kita-san's like, and that's what happens to Uma Musume who don't make it. One thing that isn't explained until Cinderella Gray, I guess minor spoiler, is that the Treisen Academy you see in seasons 1 through 3, that is like the big leagues. That's the Kanto region, Tokyo area Treisen Academy. That is like the MLB, the NBA, like, you are in the most competitive and highest profile, like, school and district of the JRA.
The best of the best.
Is it URA?
Yeah, it's URA.
No, yeah. It's managed by the J. No, the JRA is what manages the entire...
No, because the JRA is the actual organization. In Uma Musume world, it's the URA, because it's the Uma... It's the Musume Racing Association.
You're right. Yeah. So, yeah, I do stand corrected. But in any case, So even if you're, and you know, so they even kind of make fun of some of them, like Nice Nature famously, like, never won a G1 race, but she's still there, because even though she never won, she still is, like, you know, can play second or third in a G1 race, and that makes me think she's good enough to stay there. So
yeah, I don't know. I had my, like, my doubts about how many of those, like, horse girls at Traisen are actually runners or even, like, any good at it.
Yeah, I agree. I got so many questions there too. What is the financing on this? How does that work? Like we're I'm
oh,
in
come on.
I'm...
How many degenerate gamblers are in Japan yeah. that finance this? Right. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But still, like, how much space do they have? Because
according
to
the campus, it looks like it's huge.
Yeah,
it's
but massive. According to this, there's, like, no, like, you know, looking at Team Spica, like, there's only, like, one person that's actually, like, running or doing anything, like, every 3 or 4 years, there's one person that's actually running. This track is ridiculous, where you've literally, like, it's supposed to be a team of people out there running. Sorry, I'm on a complete tangent
now. Let me explain some stuff. So, not every single Uma Musume races in the same types of races as others. There's distance classification. So there's sprints, which are something like less than 1,600 meters. And those are what they sound like. They're very short races, so that's only meant for... I think you see it in Season 1, when they have Special Week Train with Taiki Shuttle. Taiki Shuttle was a dirt course sprinter. So there's even turf styles as well. There's dirt, that's what Oguri Cap ran in. There's turf, which is the standard, and then, you know, there's other stuff. And then there's it's primarily distance class, because there's sprints, and then medium and mile. So that's the biggest range. That's where most, I would say, the most competitive ones lie. So that's, I think, 1,800 to 2,400 meters.
The queen is a
and then there's long
specialist, right?
Yes, and then there's long distance, which is 2,500 and greater. And McQueen is a good example of being a distance runner. And then, of course, you can enter an Uma or an Uma Musume in any, but it's unusual for them to run multiple styles, because it takes a different kind of practice regimen and disposition to run different distances. So usually you don't run multiple different distances.
I remember from U.S. horse racing, when everybody was watching California Chrome, I believe that was the issue, was that kept California Chrome from the Triple Crown, because the Kentucky Derby was, like, a longer race than California Chrome is used to running. So that's why, my understanding at least, that's why it lost.
Yeah, entirely possible. I mean, the American Triple Crown is considered the hardest because the three races are wildly different. Mm-hmm. And to do that requires, again, a lot. They even say it in Uma Musume. They say luck with the, I think it's the Kikasho. It's, you know, the luckiest one wins, because it's not just about your predisposition, but also just, you know, is it a sunny day? Is it a dry day? Do you feel like running your best that day? Like, there's all these factors. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, going back to why it seems like people aren't running. So the way seasons 1, 2, and 3 work, it's kind of weird, because seasons 1 and 2 especially run in pseudo parallel, because, you know, season one focuses primarily on Special Week and Silent Suzuka. And then you see Teo come in, I don't know, like a third of the way in. And you get this, you kind of get it inferred, at least, you know, to me it was, that she's, like, the special horse, because she's, you know, the protege of the president, and, you know, she's a known horse already, and the owner and the trainer even said, oh, yeah, I would love nothing more than to have a high-profile, you know, horse girl like her. And then season 2 completely focuses on her and McQueen, and Special Week and Suzuka are there, but you don't, so it's kind of where the season focuses, and that's why it seems like the others aren't doing anything, but they are definitely running races in the background.
I kind of don't like that they do that, because it does feel weird. It did give me those kind of, like, and maybe this is what Dylan is hinting at, kind of like Detective Conan vibes, where, like, it felt like they just stay there forever, and, like, sometimes they're running, and then on other times, other horses are running.
Yeah, I think that's my issue with season 1. Season 1 just throws so much at you that it's like, you were like, wait, what? At the end of it, you're like, so you understand a lot about Special Week and Suzuka, but you know so little about all, like, the 2 dozen characters they introduce you to. And one thing now that I realize now, because I just rewatched most of season 1 this last week after watching everything and playing the game, is so Team Spica is like the main team, right? That's where all the focused characters are, and that's like the main trainer, air quotes, mm-hmm. you know, that we know. And then the rival team is Rigel, which is the one headed by Hana and is also captained by Cymbali Rudolph, who is like this mythical figure.
She's the captain
in the series,
of that
right?
team, really?
kind of. Like, she's at that point, at the point where we see in season one, she's already long retired as an Uma Musume competitor.
But she's still the student council president. Like,
I know, which is weird, right? So that's the thing, is the whole part of it being a school is strange, because generally speaking, in real horse racing, a horse's career is generally like 3 years on average, and if you're like really durable and robust, maybe 5 to 7, but that's like it. So the whole 3 year cycle kind of matches with school, but then these people still stay afterwards. Like at the point where we see Oguri Cap in season one, in real life she is long retired in the 90s, because she raced in like early 90s, like 87 to 93 or something like that. I
mean, yeah, they're mixing, like mashing together time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They mash a lot of this time. Like these, they do not, most of these don't overlap. For example, the real Cymbali Rudolph is actually the real Tokai Tail's father. Mm. The real McQueen is the grandfather of Gold Ship. So like they definitely cram all these together in a kind of a mishmash. And most of them were male. A few were fillies, but I would say most of the ones portrayed in Uma Musume were originally male horses.
You know that Haru Urara is a female.
Yes, is the rare female. I believe Vodka is also female, okay. Maybe Scarlet was also, but the rest were all male. But yeah, going back to the Rigel thing, so like that team had like it was literally like the freaking USA 1992 USA Dream Team lineup on there. Like when you see the characters on there, like it has, I'm gonna name a bunch of names and they're kind of probably be meaningless to most of you, but like, you know, they have Cymbali Rudolph as a captain, mm-hmm. Narita Bryan, who is the next Triple Crown winner after Cymbali Rudolph and who had probably just finished his career. That's the one with the bandage over her nose. And then they have Taiki Shoto, who was the best sprinter of that era. TM Opera O, who is another multi-time G1 winner. They have Marzensky, who is another, like they have like 7 or 8 like multiple G1 like winner horses on that team, and that's just like absurd to me, because that's just like too stacked. And you don't really see that after season one. They kind of fragment that apart. You don't really see too much of the Rigel team anymore beyond that, which I think is probably better.
Yeah. You never see them run at all,
yes,
right?
Yeah, like you literally, like you hear from everybody, oh, Cymbali Rudolph, she's the best. She's the undefeated Triple Crown winner. I believe still the only ever undefeated Triple Crown winner. But you never see her run until the last episode of season one. And then even that's kind of a sham race, because like they don't show you who won. Mm. It's inferred that like everybody wins because the entire lineup does the freaking winning life afterwards, which is
preposterous. So stupid.
Yeah, the end of season clearly that it was a dead heat 18 ways.
The end of season one is super dumb. I completely agree. I'm like, oh, come on.
Wait a minute.
Guys.
This is a statement on how rigged horse racing is. That's what that is.
So that's my major. I would say if I have any issue, is that season one is, in my opinion, the worst season out of the ones I watch. I don't know how you feel, Dylan. You're most of the way through, so you know what's your kind of take on?
I honestly would say if you wanted to have someone watch this, I would say just watch season two.
Yes, like, I completely and utterly agree.
Like season two is actually pretty good. It's got a lot of interesting, it's got much more interesting character stuff. Like by that point they've
it
pretty much
more on the characters and the rivalry versus
right.
like here's the entire world and we're going to try to explain all of this to you in 10 episodes. It's
except
like,
they don't actually explain anything that we want to know about of where does Babby come from. They yeah. never explain yeah. that.
And I agree, I would completely agree.
You know, I guess
I haven't totally been clear. Do like horses exist in this world, and if not, what did people do for transportation?
Oh man, see,
you know,
these are
I
the
actually
questions
haven't, I have not seen horses in this world, so
either.
They may not exist at all.
Yeah.
So then horse girls have been around. I mean, it seems like they've kind of been around for a long time, even though they're inheriting, they say clearly they're inheriting the spirit of like racehorses.
So it's Earth 1.7A that where when a horse from our plane of existence passes on, its soul gets transferred to there, and now is reborn as Umamusume, maybe?
Am I confusing this with some other anime, but I thought there was some, like, backstory thing where it's like, horse girls have been around since, like, ancient Egyptian times or something?
That's what I want to say, is the beginning of every season has, like, this hieroglyphic-looking art style explanation of what horse girls are. So, yeah, I believe they've existed for as long as this world has existed.
I do want to say, though, like, so, it's funny, because Dylan hasn't seen season 4, and I haven't seen season 3 or finished season 2, although I've seen most of it.
You should finish season 2.
I mean, of course I will, but, like, I skipped to 4, because it looked really good, and I was going to say this in Discord that, like, if you're going to see 1, you should really just see 4.
See, I would have said that, but then, like, it sets you up for failure because the others will seem awful.
Well, let's just relatively say, speaking, if you only wanted to watch 1, standpoint. Though, like, if you only had time for 1, definitely don't skip to it if you're planning to watch it, but, like, if you've only got time for 1 series, 4 is just, I mean, I think everything about it is so much better.
It's hard for me to disagree. I mean, it's just it tells the story from a much more grounded perspective, with in my opinion, a much more relatable character. And then, because, like, really, what you see, what after watching all of it, especially 4, was that all of these Umamusume in Traisen Academy and in Kanto and Tokyo Traisen Academy are just honestly like. overprivileged Umamusume who were born into success and are, you know, the like elite of the elite Umamusume who are always set up for success. Whereas, you know, especially when you look at like the forces in Kasamatsu and Cinderella Grey, like they're all like kind of hood looking and like kind of grimy and you know they're not, you know, they're unmotivated and they like know their air quotes know their place.
Well,
right?
Some of them are unmotivated, but like others, like the main two, are extremely
sure. Yeah. March and Oguri, obviously, but yeah, but in that sense, I do agree. I think, I mean, without a doubt, if I was to say you can only watch 1 season of Umamusume, just watch Cinderella Grey. But at the same time, I think season 2 represents the spirit, of what makes Umamusume so great. In a single season, like, it does it better. In my opinion, so far, I will say I like season 2 more than Cinderella Grey, mostly for the way it told the story, start to finish. That being said, Cinderella Grey is still incomplete. Core 2, I believe, starts in October.
Yeah, the thing about season, like, I love season 2, what I've seen, and again, I'm not done, of course, most of the way, but the thing that I don't like about it is there's kind of filler episodes in there that are like the whole thing with rice shower. Not that the whole arc was filler, right? But there are parts of that where it's like, I understand what you're saying in the first 5 minutes of the episode, and you're just dragging it out. Like, get to the next step, you know?
And yeah, I kind of get it. But the whole rice shower thing also like kind of happened. The reason why it got any attention is because it actually happened in real life, where rice shower basically ruined. I guess the perception was ruined Mihono Bourbon's Triple Crown attempt by taking the Arimakinen and then even.
Yeah, I mean, I get that stuff that, like, I mean, one, like, it wasn't until recently I realized that this stuff was all real events. So, like, in anime wise, there's no reason they have to do that. But also, I understand, like, that was all very interesting, actually, being the spoiler, that kind of bit. It's just they had to do, like, a whole episode of her pouting around and like everybody like trying to go find her and stuff, and I just didn't really think that was that necessary.
I don't know, I think because season 2 is so heavy, right? Like, season 2, so much bad stuff happens to Teo and McQueen in season 2. Like, you're like, gosh, this is depressing, but it's about overcoming it, and also shows that like it's not every day is like a grind, right? Like, they have days where they, you know, do silly things. Like, I don't know if you got to the point in season 2 where you see McQueen and Teo's Halloween episode or not.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, that one's, in my opinion, that one's filler, but it's also pretty adorable filler. I was okay with it.
It's not bad. It's just, I don't know, like, when I'm watching Cinderella Grey, every episode is like, I gotta watch
a banger.
One,
yeah,
right?
Like, I know it's like I don't disagree, every episode banger. Yeah. And even and they managed to intersperse, because even I can't even say it takes itself too seriously because there's tons of like gags in it, like mm-hmm. Obudi being just this monstrous glutton,
yeah,
like literally eating, like, you know,
on her winning live, like, being Obon dance basically.
I've had to pause because I was just like laughing so hard I actually like couldn't focus. But
it was very good. But,
And I will say, I don't want to spoil it for you, but for me, two takes the cake only for the last three episodes. I think it wraps up so well, and yeah, that's all I'll say. But gosh, I can't even remember
coming back to the reality thing. Actually, I want to do that a little bit because I kind of like, because I just binged through all this, and then literally in like a little bit before the episode here, I kind of watched a few little YouTube things on stuff, and I don't think I certainly did not realize that, like, and I don't know if it's correct for everything, but like a lot of the races that they have in the show are like recreations of the positioning.
The results
of these
are real. Yes.
Like some of the positionings in it seem like they're fairly kind of shifting around accurately. Other ones aren't, you know, aren't going to be quite there, but yeah, that it was based on real results, which is why I think it feels like for each season, it's like, it kind of works, but it's also confusing. And it's like, oh, well, this is like over like a 3-year period or something like that. And then it's like, oh, but then I get to the confusion of like, what's Special Week doing just hanging out at the school forever? Who's paying for that? But, you know, I can come back.
I mean, she earned it.
But I guess that's true. I can come back to that. Of there's a lot of degenerate gamblers, and then there
and
is.
And think
certainly
about the merch sales for the winning lives. Yep. Like they sell the light sticks and the fig, like the dolls and the light, all that. Like all that stuff is massive.
And then I'm also gonna go with that. I'm certain there is a secondary market for to have a winning Uma Musume as your wife.
Right.
There's probably a lot of recruiting that goes along there, and donations that are made to the various academies and things that keeps that stuff funded well.
Yeah, that's. I'd rather not get into that.
Okay.
That the seedy underbelly. Yeah. I want to keep Uma Musume pure. Please. These are all my daughters. They're not for sale.
And with that as well, like there's Trainer, whose name is
all
Trainer.
Your daughters that you spent at least three figures on.
Yeah.
That's not even on all of them.
there's Trainer, whose name is Trainer.
Yes.
And you know, you'd think that being a team captain trainer at a school like that would pay better, but I guess that's kind of always part of the conceit, is that the trainer doesn't make any money. And it also strikes me as very weird that their team rooms are like these weird little crappy sheds. Yeah,
that's the thing that confuses me about Spica, is by the midpoint of season one, they're like a pretty successful team. How is the trainer not getting, like, that's the one thing I don't get, is how are these trainers compensated? Are they paid by the success of their racers, or are they just paid a flat, you know, flat salary, this being Japan, and just, you know, you know, regardless how well or how poorly you do, you make the same. But at the same time, you look at like Team Regal, and like obviously they have more resources. Like they get the nice team bus, they can stay in the nice, you know, onsen. So it's like, where what's going on? Is it just because, you know, Regal has like, you know, wealthy benefactors backing them specifically, which would make sense. I mean, when you think about pro sports, right? Not all teams are created equal. Some have, you know, way more sponsors and other things and just have access to more capital. And is it fair? No, but it's the reality of it, especially when, you know, at the end of the day, while it is competitive sports, it's still one, a business, and two, a glorified popularity contest.
But like, so Spica doesn't seem like, just in what we see, it doesn't seem like they have any more money than like Ogudi Cup's team, right? Like, I can't really tell the difference between the two other than like, The Joe is very unhappy about having to buy shoes for her, but like,
Yeah, that's the one thing I think they just kind of gloss over, and I will say that's a valid criticism. It's just like, I just can't fathom in a world where Uma Musume is an industry that is probably, one, wildly popular in, you know, whatever the major cities they're in, and two, a titanic revenue generator with all the events they hold. Mm-hmm. So, who's collecting all this? Like, it's gotta go, at some point, go back to, you know, the institutions, right? Because that they gotta keep the lights on and feed their old recaps. So,
more statement on how the idol industry exploits the idols or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
See, definitely... like I said, competitive idols show is actually what this is, and it's actually
if you go one level deeper,
let's just keep digging. But yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff. Like, this is literally like, in the Uma Musume world, this is literally like the number one obsession of everyone in Japan, because it's being broadcast on every show, and I do kind of love it during like the fancy races. They just show everyone on their phones and whatever. They're like, yeah, out hiking on Mount Fuji, and they're just like looking on right. their phone, watching the race.
The hair cutting gag.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I also wonder, like, similarly, like, you watch the show and you think like, oh, they're at school, they're like training to be racers, but like, yeah, it kind of dawns on you eventually, like, wait, this is it. Like, there's nothing after school for them to run in.
Exactly. That's the one part that's a little odd to me, is like, they're merging the school life with the racing a little bit too much, and they're explaining the racing part of it just fine, but the school life part is not like really justified super well. Like, is there any benefit to being a good student?
Like, if you're bad at running, I guess.
But then
why are you at Tracen?
One thing they do explain in Cinderella Glide that I do appreciate is there's different tracks, right? Like, there's obviously, with Belle No Light, she joins the support, like, track, as far as, you know, becoming, like, a support Uma Musume. So I do appreciate that bit of detail, because that shows, hey, there is more than just racing. It's almost like My Hero Academia, where there's, you know, the hero courses and the support courses and the whatever courses. Like, so I do appreciate that Cinderella Grey kind of added some clarity there.
Plus, I want to talk about the school here and the classes, because it seems like every class is talking about, like, oh, hey, guess what? Here's the Tenno Show race. It happens here. This is the race. And they have all these books on it. But it's like, nobody needs a book on this. This is literally like your entire life, and the entirety of this whole society is based around this. Like this is not a school. This is like a, I mean, and maybe that's the conceit, that it's like, oh, well, you have to have school because it's like, you know, Division I, you know, basketball or football people in the U.S. where they're like, oh yeah, I had my educational part. What was it? It was, I sat there and I was allowed to sleep in class so that I could be like healthy for my training.
My suspicion is that because the original creators wanted a mechanism to have these Uma Musume like engage each other outside of the race, because they didn't want to be just about the racing, and they decided the best setting for that would be a school, which I can understand. That makes sense. Like, where is a setting in real life where people are forced to congregate together, even if they, you know, don't necessarily want to? Well, you know, school's kind of the answer. So I can kind of see and then they just kind of gloss over the fact that, you know, they're professional, like, racers, but they still have to go to school. Like, that part does definitely seem weird and incongruous, but I don't know. I feel like that's just kind of, it was a necessary setting, because what other setting could they use to force everybody to interact with each other otherwise?
I'm okay with them using school as that, but I almost feel like it's like the worst version, because I just started playing Persona 3 Reloaded, which is, man, that's a slick game. But it's like, you have all of the outside of school stuff, but it's like, when they're at school, it's like, oh, okay, well, you're actually like learning like school stuff. Not, it's not like school there is all about like, oh, let's learn about the dark hour. Yeah. What's the dark hour?
I see what you're saying. Yeah, like, if they're going to school, just have them go to school.
Yeah, just have it be school. Yeah, and have it be like, okay, now you got to keep up good enough. You're at Horse Harvard. You have to keep up good enough grades, or we send you down to Horse
City Upstate
Community College.
Brown. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff that's not explained well and glossed over, but I think it matters less to the main audience. I'll try to find it later. There's a hilarious. So, of course, because this is wildly popular IP, they do actual live events with the VAs, like big concerts. And there is one, I don't remember which VA it was, but, you know, she was saying, oh, how many people in the audience are from high school? And you see here, like, a couple go like, ooh, how many of you are in college? And you kind of hear a few more people, ooh. How many of you are, like, you know, just starting in the workforce a little bit more? And then lastly, she kind of gives it a bit of a pause. And how many of you are office work?
Like, how just many like, of you like, are Ojaji?
Our salary men, basically, and the entire place erupts and cheese. And it's like, yeah, that's the core audience of Uma Musume.
Oh, so that's how you can make $2.5 billion. Probably actually more than that, because this, at least by the numbers on Wikipedia, was March of 2024. So
yeah, so they've had another year plus the U.S. launch, so I'm sure it's closing in on the three easily. But one thing I do appreciate that Cygames did was any official media they make of it, like all of it needs to be, for lack of a better term, clean. There is no like lewd content, like official content for most, which I do appreciate, because that's the one thing about that when I was originally denigrating the IP, you know, as little as like 6 months ago, I was like, oh, this is for like weirdos who want to, you know, fantasize about horse girls. And then I get in the general fandom around it is always saying that is definitely not it. And then I finally watched it, I'm like, oh, it really isn't.
Yeah, it's for normies who want to fantasize about horse girls.
Right. It's
what is the difference between this and like other idol shows, though? Like, in terms of,
to be fair, I haven't watched other idol shows because I just make a bold assumption that they have lewd content in them, and they may very well may not. To be fair, so does that mean I'm going to watch Idolmaster?
No.
But I will give it a bit more slack, because ultimately, again, the idol part of Umamusume, I'm slowly growing on. I think it's mostly because there are just certain ones who are better performers than others. Mm-hmm. Like, specifically, like Tails VA, I think is a very, very good singer. So yeah. I like a lot of Tails like cat like songs. But
I like the lives. I don't like them a lot, but like, it's kind of a fun little thing, and I like that they don't spend a whole lot of time on them, like just enough, because
it's like that, like 90 seconds.
Yeah,
is all they spend.
And it's
on
like I kind of hate them because of the CGI. I think it looks terrible. But I don't know. You get to see a little bit of the character in a different way. That's something.
It does add a nice kind of almost like mini epilogue to every major race. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, like the one thing I like about it a lot is it's a sports anime, and the rivalries are there, but it's at the end, it's a lot of it is like friendly rivalries. Like McQueen and Teo are like best friends, right? But they definitely want to race each other. Like they're deeply competitive with each other, but it doesn't lead to anything like particularly, let's call it, you know, like negative or toxic.
Yeah.
You know, you see a bit more of that in Cinderella Gray, mm-hmm. but you still get, like, the camaraderie with, like, you know, when Oguri and March, you know, do the race. They don't, they're intensely, like, competitive, but they don't, like, they have a respect for each other. And there's not much hatred. Like, there's not too many mean Umamusume girls. There's a few, obviously, for sure. But none of them are, like, outright malicious. Like, you don't see ones that are, their whole gimmick is, oh, I'm going to break your ankles, like, out the starting gate. Like, generally speaking, you don't get that, vibe. It's clean competition.
There was kind of, but, you know, they...
You're talking about the shoelace thing, right?
Yeah, well, and the other stuff, but they quickly solved their problems.
Yeah, I do agree. There was a little bit of that, but they also, again, were in the grungier, like, you know, kind of like, you know, D4 district. So the Umamusume caliber was a little bit, you know, lower, right?
I was just wondering if anybody else watched the thing that Nick linked with the old man guessing the horses, the real horses from the character designs. I really loved that. And there's actually a lot more of those. I only watched one.
There's a whole video series. I was talking about it with Dylan earlier. There's a whole video series with that guy where he opens up with like, oh, I don't watch anime. I mean, yeah, why would he? He's like an 80, 90-year-old, you know, horse racing fanatic. And then like by the end of the video series, it ends with them showing one of the, Dylan posted one of the videos earlier, but there's like a bunch of YouTube videos of like side by side of the, of like Uma Musume race side by side with the real race that it was inspired from. Mm-hmm. And so they showed him the Arima, the 93, I believe, Arima Kinen, which was the final race in season two. And this guy is like by the end, like cheering. He's like going like, Ike! Like he's just like getting into it. And it's pretty adorable and pretty hilarious. So it even has, I don't know, there's something about it that just speaks to, I think, a broad population, especially in Japan. And again, I think it's because there's a lot of degenerate gamblers in Japan that have grown attached to these horses. And, you know, I don't want to slander like horse racing. There are people for sure that are into horses and horse racing because they're interested in the horses. Like my wife is one of those people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's definitely possible. She watches the Kentucky Derby every year and has zero interest in betting on it. Just wants to see which horses are running and, you know, see if there's an, you know, like a Cinderella story, so to speak.
Yeah, the competition is fun. But
yeah, exactly. So,
but I just liked watching that guy try and guess these horses. I recommend anybody who's watched any of this stuff, go watch at least the first one because it's just amusing.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's where I learned. He says they get permission for all these horses, and there's some trainer who will not allow them.
Yeah,
use
I was
going
to get to that. Mm-hmm. So they're famously. There is, because, you know, Uma Musume, they contextualize it to this gentleman's like, all of these are super famous horses. And then the guy's like, oh, except for Mr. Kaneko. So Makoto Kaneko owns and owned several super prolific horses. I mean, the most famous one is probably called Deep Impact. Mm. And everybody is asked, when is Deep Impact coming to Uma Musume? And Mr. Kaneko refused to give the license to Sai Games. So these are all the horses are licensed through their owners. The names and in the air quotes likenesses, I should say. They even get the designs approved because famously Daiwa Scarlet's owner famously said, as long as she has bigger boobs than vodka, I'm good.
Really?
Is what he said. Yes. And that's why they did that.
Oh, that's great. But,
That's another thing I didn't realize that I posted, and there's some of the comparison videos. You can find them on YouTube pretty easily if you look, you know, Uma Musume comparison, reality, anime, whatever. But I didn't realize that one, that like the riders for these horses, like, because I don't know any of this stuff at all, like that they kind of have their particular color and almost like a costume. It's their jockey costume. Yes. So it's a shirt and stuff, but like they have very particular colors and
design elements,
whether it's stripes, dots, big polka dots, triangles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took those elements and designs for a lot of the characters and like, and then they glammed and idled it up. But it's kind of a cool little thing where it's like, oh, and that's why you can have that. I haven't watched that old man video, but why you could be like, oh, so he's like reverse engineering from these glammed
up. And that's exactly what he does. And that's why I say, like, with very few hints, he has a very high success rate with those things. So
I was impressed he got any, but like, he missed a lot.
He guessed a lot, but like eventually with the most of them, he got it right. Or he got close, like I believe with Teo, he called Teo Simbali Rudolph because they're similar in some ways, and they're biologically father son.
He was robbed on that one. Though. I feel so bad because he was guessing Teo like for two other horses, and then when Teo finally comes up, he guesses wrong, and then they just tell him. It's like why?
Yeah. No, I do agree, but like with some of them. He just needs very few hints. Like he's like, oh, just look really carefully at the face, and then on Narita Bryan, he sees the bandage. He's like, oh, that's Narita Bryan for sure. Mm-hmm. Like just these tiny hints is all it takes, and that's considering there's in the history of horse racing, you know, there's dozens of famous ones.
Yeah.
So the fact that he can recall some stuff from 30, 40 years ago to me is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive for sure. He gets Go watch. I don't want to quote unquote spoil it. It's not really my, but it's a fun.
There's a whole bunch of videos with that guy.
So. It's fun watch.
But yeah, it's, but what's funny is you even get people like him who are not into anime at all, and he's slowly kind of getting indoctrinated into Momosume because they do it right when it comes to paying homage to the original horse. They you know, they do the homework, right?
Mm-hmm.
The results of everything are, and you know, the history doesn't need to be rewritten. Like, they can just tell history in a different way, and, you know, it's still plenty dramatic. Obviously, some stuff has to be altered, like Silent Suzuka did injure her leg, or his leg, in, I believe it was Takaru Suzuka Kinen. One of the races, whichever race that she injured her leg on in the anime, but in real life, unfortunately, had to get put down during that race. So they didn't do that in the anime because that would be horrible.
Didn't put her down in the middle of the anime. That would have been, man,
that would have changed.
That would have changed
the dynamic.
Hinted that, you know, if Special Week hadn't intervened, that might have happened.
And that's why they augmented it. You know, it made for better drama and also retained the character as a recurring character, obviously, because you don't realize it, I think, even by the end of season one, you may not realize it, but, like, Suzuka is, like, is amongst, like, the most, you know, I would say, prolific of the Umamusume. So, obviously, the big ones are, like, the triple, you know, like, Triple Crown threats and the Triple Crown winners are the famous ones. So, like, that's why Rudolph is the president of the school, is because the real Symboli Rudolph ran undefeated through his Triple Crown, and that, I believe, still hasn't happened again since, so.
And that was in, like, the late 80s or something.
87 or 88, yeah. There are now horses that have won more G1s than him. So I believe Symboli Rudolph set the record at 7 G1s, and currently there's a horse that's still active now called Almond Eye, who is, I think, on her 9th win now. So she's actually surpassed.
Uh-huh.
And she's also a filly, which is, you know, even more unusual. Uh-huh. So I'm sure they're going to make a movie or anime about her. She already exists in the Japanese game client, so it's only a matter of time before they bring her into the anime part of it. But yeah, it's just to me, I never thought I'd study up on Japanese horse racing history, and now it's like, next time I go, maybe I'll go visit Kasamatsu Race Course and see what it's like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
just because.
I've definitely started thinking about that.
I did post a couple of pictures that I took of stuff, and like most of the race course overlays are pretty accurate to what they are, where the Kansai one from season 3 is just like...
It's identical.
Yeah, it's identical. Like literally someone just went and took the same screenshot I did of Google Maps and like drew it basically. it's identical.
Wow.
And the one that's up in Fuchu, which is the main Tokyo one, I think in most places it looks correct, but I did find one screenshot where it totally looks like, as Mike said, it looks like a boat racing stadium got shoved in the middle of a horse.
Yeah,
track. Yeah.
Definitely.
Something got screwed up on that one, so that broke my immersion completely and ruined the entire show for me.
Is that the school, or what is...
That's the Fuchu race course, which is like the main one that most of the races that they have, they go to take part with, like the huge stands with 150,000 people.
So like the Japan Derby is held there, I believe.
I see.
At least in this world, I think it's like most of the big ones, I think, are held there. But it also confuses me too on, there's so much more detail we could go into here. Like you said, we could easily cover 3 hours of content on this
still haven't even touched on the ridiculous outfits that they run in.
Come on.
Aerodynamics clearly are not priority one in this world.
it depends. I think some have better, more aerodynamically suitable race wear than others. I won't spoil any. I won't. But
you're running a road race dressed as Lady Oscar, I'm impressed you can move well at all in that.
I mean, to be fair, a good number of people, like I've done several of like the big like Disney World races and like Disney Marathon and stuff, and like people will run Like, I've literally seen people run, like, full marathons in costume.
Yeah.
Now,
but you are don't, they you don't
sure,
sprint,
but those
you
people don't have, like, billions of dollars bet on them, potentially, or at least
right.
millions.
They are not trying to qualify for Boston.
Yeah. Beta breakers have got some weirdo things that people are running in, or not running in.
Yes.
All right. We flew through this hour. Holy smokes. This is one of the fastest episodes of recent memory. But one thing I guess we'll close with, because I'm still the only one that's fully caught up on Uma Musume. So to the rest of the Kenzoku, outside of obligation to the podcast, is there any interest in watching or playing any more Uma Musume? Mike, let's start
with
you.
Wait. Also, I want to hear your favorite horse girl.
Continuing through season two, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. And then also, your Oshi.
Yeah.
Who's your Uma Musume Oshi?
That is hard. I mean, let's face it, it is impossible not to like, you know, darn it, why am I drawing a blank on
their names are ridiculous.
Gold Chip's name.
Oh, yeah,
Gold Chip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the lovable troll, for mm-hmm. sure.
Old Chip reminds me of someone I knew from Anime Club. Let's put it that way.
I think we all know a Gold Chip in real life. Let's be real. What about you, Sam?
I'll definitely continue. I mean, I started this before, you know, forever ago.
You to be fair, you were the one that originally said it was worth watching, yeah. And I mocked you. So, and then I decided to go in for the pound. So yeah. But and I already know the
yeah.
answer. But who's your?
Oh yeah, it's Gold Ship. Gold Ship's is
of course.
She's good. She's too wacky.
What about you, Dylan?
I'm gonna finish watching three. I'm gonna watch four.
You get to reward yourself with four. Is what I'll say.
Yeah,
it'll be quite the reward.
I don't know how much of the game I'm gonna play. It's just not really my type of game that I get super into. Like, it's very well produced and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as my Oshi there, I don't know. It depends. I'm going to go McQueen. She's good people.
Yeah. McQueen's mm-hmm. solid,
I like McQueen.
She's high on my list for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's definitely,
she's good people.
Five probably. Yeah. I a lot of respect for McQueen. If it wasn't painfully obvious, yeah, I'm pretty addicted to the IP, so I'm gonna probably be the only person to continually play the gacha game and hopefully not spend any more on it. let's see how well they know me.
Yeah.
As for Oshi, man, it's both easy and hard. If before Cinderella Gray, it would have been an easy answer. That's Teo.
Mm.
Like,
it's a good choice.
Yeah, just exudes that main character energy that I'm not usually into, but especially after season two, like, not spoiling, but just how much she has to overcome and still tackles it without, like, why is this happening to me attitude to me, it resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a tough call because I don't know if you've run into Tamamo Cross yet.
That's the
Cinderella Gray.
Ben.
Yeah,
she's just
the other white-haired one. Yeah, yeah, she's like right there. She's really, really freaking awesome.
Yeah, she is.
And also a tiny horse girl. So I guess I like my petite Uma Musume. And what's funny is that's representative of the real horse. Like, Gold Chip is a gigantic horse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you look up videos of me, he's a massive horse. And then if you look up videos of Teo is very sprightly and skinny horse. Oh. So it's represented accurately in the anime as well. I think that's kind of was the major concern, was that because he was so small and lean that, you know, can he really handle all of that hard racing? Mm. And the, you know, I mean, really did fracture his leg three times. Jeez. And still came back. And that's unheard of. So, but still did it. So,
brutal.
Yeah, I think it ties in for me. It ties in with the real lore around it. Was why I think Teo was probably probably my Oshi. Mm. But yeah, Tom Cross is like right there. And especially after the end of season one, it's like, or season, the first core of Cinderella Grey, it's like, tough call. It's neck and neck. It's too close to call for me. But yeah. Ooh, yeah. So next time, we are going to cover the 2025 spring and summer anime seasons. It's been a little bit since we've done one of those apps, so we're going to kind of do a two-season recap. So, yeah, you guys have that to look forward to for the next app. And yeah, so with that,
wait, I've got one cut in here, so okay. I have to myself. So I went on Tuesday night to go see Shin Godzilla 4K in the theater. Very excited. Oh, and I got there and started playing previews, and I was like, oh man, it's Godzilla time. I got my drink, I got my popcorn. I walked up there the mile and a half or whatever in the 90 degree heat because it sucks, but I was like, oh, it's fine. And then this movie starts. I'm like, that's weird. I wonder if like there's some different like production companies because of this release. And then the movie kind of started, and I'm like, I've seen this movie many times. This is not how Shin Godzilla starts. What's going on here? And I looked up, and I realized that was in fact not the correct week, that Shin Godzilla was not starting until the next week. So instead of Shin Godzilla, I went and saw the new drama, My Mother's Wedding. So instead of Godzilla, I got a drama about three British sisters at their mother's wedding, and the drama that ensues. There was no irradiated giant monsters anywhere in it.
So how did the ticket buying experience for this go, Dylan?
Because it's a old style like single theater, single screen theater. So I walked up and I was like, I was about to literally tell the guy I was buying the ticket from, being like, because I didn't buy it ahead of time online, because I'm like, yeah, there's no reason, they got plenty of seats, like, and they're not reserved. And I was like,
you just said one ticket, please.
I was literally about to say, I'll take one for Shin Godzilla, and he kind of cut me off, and he was like, hey, here's your ticket. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I'll be going back to the theater next Tuesday. So
okay.
Hopefully it'll be Shin Godzilla again, but if it's My Mother's Wedding again, I don't know if I'm going to stick it out for a second showing.
Hey, good for you for sticking it out, though.
You know, I was like, you know what? I'm here. Might as well. It was a good movie. It's not something I go see all the time, but you know, it was well done. It was Scarlett Johansson is a lead in it and stuff. So
interesting.
You know. Yeah. So there you go. There's my tale of dates matter when it comes to seeing movies, so enjoy that one.
All right. And with that, this is Amo Kenzoku signing off. Sadama.